praise your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise your name, God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise your name, God. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we worship you today. We do it together, God, because each of us have experienced your blessing and your grace and your mercy in our lives. And God, we each know in our hearts what you have done. And God, we appreciate what you've done, and we appreciate that you are faithful to carry us through, God, this life and into eternal life. We're just thankful, God. We're grateful. Our hearts just adore and love you and appreciate you today. Jesus, we just want you to know that God, we love you. And thank you that you love us. And God, that is our strength today. That is our hope. It's just in our being, God, it just vibrates within us. That God, you are good. And you are faithful. And what you have done in the past, God, you'll continue to do today in our lives and in our hearts. And God, you will continue to do it tomorrow. Oh, we have that confidence that you're always with us. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're with us. And we thank you that you are at work in our lives. And oh, let your word just leap out today again and cause us to know Jesus more. And to be more strong and built up in our faith. Oh, we are children of the living God. Oh, thank you, God, for that. Let that sink deep into our spirits today. We're yours, God. Oh, praise your name. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Son. Praise you, Holy Spirit. Praise the three in one. Oh, God, thank you that you're complete. And you're working that completeness in us. Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, isn't Jesus great? Wow. I love when we get to come together and enjoy Jesus. You know, it's what it's all about. You can take all the flash and dash with the faith. And in life, but at the end of the core of it all, it's Jesus. It's got to be him. And he's what gives us life and breath. And boy, is he amazing. You know, in a few moments, we're going to take communion together. And if you're at home there and you want to scramble into the kitchen and grab some emblems for yourself, that'd be awesome. You have a little bit of time. If you're in the building here, we can't serve right now through health regulations the way we normally would serve communion. But we have these beautiful cups that we purchased and sent them all the way in. They're fine china. And if you have never used one of these before, the top peels off as well, and there's a wafer in there. And if you've not received one yet, they are in the foyer. You can pick one up. I won't, point you out if you get up and slide out to grab one. But we'll do that in a few moments. I want to just mention, we're going to go into 2 Timothy chapter 2 in a moment as well. But tomorrow is the first Monday of the month. And as your pastors and the leaders of the church, the board of directors, we have set aside as a church family that we would take the first Monday of every month and that we would pause and we would fast and pray and seek the Lord. So I'm calling us all to do in unity, because we're one family, that you take, some of you can take the whole day, fly at it, but some of you might not be able to, and you can only do a portion. But take some time tomorrow, take the time to fast one of your meals, at least one of your meals, and then spend that time, instead of eating, spend that time just in the presence of Jesus. And what I'm asking us to do is we know that Jesus is everything and that everything is built on his foundation. And we know that Jesus said in his word in John 15, he who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. He didn't say that you might do it, or it could happen. He says you will bear fruit if you abide in me. So as a church, we're calling us to abide in the Lord tomorrow. If you're actually available between 9 and 10 here in the sanctuary, we are calling some to come, and we're going to pray and ask God to intervene in our church family, to keep us, to build our faith, and also to touch the city around us so that people will come to know Jesus. And so that's what we're going to do, and that's what we are calling us all to be about as a family. And let's do that together in the Lord's name. 2 Timothy chapter 2, the first 13 verses. It says, "You therefore, my son," that's Timothy, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." See, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. And the hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal, but the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus and with its eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Beautiful, beautiful passage of Scripture that Paul writes to Timothy. And there's three analogies you notice that he writes in here, three different people. He talks about the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer. If you look at the soldier, you know, Paul tells Timothy that we are going to have hardship. He says, suffer hardship with me. Even though Paul's in prison and Timothy's might look differently, we all suffer when we have Christ in our life. It seems a little strange, doesn't it? But yet we know that Jesus said, "And they persecuted me, they'll persecute you." And if we all know that in life there's hardship, we go through things in our life that are not easy. And when you talk about living the faith, it is a difficult road. Jesus himself said that road was difficult and narrow, and few would find it. And so we understand. And so he brings these analogies into play. Now, you notice in our lifetime that, you know, these get-rich-quick, you know, schemes. You hear them advertised all the time. Or, you know, weight loss, you know, just take this pill and you'll lose all your weight. There's all these shortcuts and these different things that you have to do, you know, in order to get things quicker. You know, buy a lottery ticket because you could win. Like, wouldn't that be awesome? But, you know, it's everything is quick. You know, do it this way. But, you know, faith is not quick. When you confess Christ and you confess your sins, it's done in a moment. But there's a lifetime to be built upon in your life. It's not an easy road. It's a hard road. It's a disciplined road. And we have to work at it. There's no shortcuts. We have to do it Jesus' way. And we have to have him involved in our life. Now, I am going to maybe be okay after church today. Or maybe I'm going to get into trouble, because I have to drive home with my wife. But I forgot to ask her if I could talk about her today. And so I'm going to do it without your permission, if that's okay. And all I wanted to do was to say this, is that for those of you that have not known my wife for a long time, and some of you have and you know the story, but my wife weighed a lot more a couple years ago and beyond. You know, she had first pregnancy, had gained a lot of weight and never really lost it, and then she just accumulated weight. Now you see her today and you go, okay, well, really? You know, she's lost well over 100 pounds. Now, she didn't do that by saying to herself, looking in the mirror, going, you know what, I'm just going to lose this today, so by the end of the day, it's just gone. Now, wouldn't that be great? It took work. It took discipline. You know, it took her changing her diet completely so that she has to cook for two of us differently sometimes. It takes exercise. It took a lot of walking. It took a lot of sacrifice, giving up things that she liked in order to discipline herself in order to get the end result of what she wanted. And folks, that's a great picture of the Christian faith. It's not easy. You know, he mentions the farmer. The farmer's hardworking and he'll get a reward. He'll reap the benefit of his work. And you see, when we in our faith continue to build and discipline ourselves and follow God's ways and work hard at it, and we give up things because we know they're not going to get us where we want to go, and we bring things into our life because we know those things will get us where we want to go. And so we work hard. And it says here that the farmer will get the first fruits. And you know what? We will get a reward. It's not that we would want to focus on that because we want to focus on Jesus. But folks, Jesus tells us you're going to get rewarded for being mine and disciplining yourself and working hard and never giving up and continuing to grow in your faith and disciplining your life. There's a reward. You know, the benefit for Noreen is I lived with her. I know all the benefits, the rewards that came for her diligence, her perseverance, and her struggle through all this stuff. I know the kind of person she is now. I know that she can move around. She's got mobility like she never had before. She can outrun me distance-wise. She's just got all this freshness in her life and vibrancy. Physical well-being and mental well-being because of it. God has rewarded her for her diligence. And folks, God will reward you when the struggle is hard. You know, when you need God to intervene in your life and you need Him to pick you up because you can't get up yourself. In all of those ways, God is going to reward you by seeing you through. We sang it this morning in a reference to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. You know, who was in the fire? It was like the one who was the Son of God. We know that Jesus was in the fire with the three guys, walking beside them. We sang that, did we not, this morning? He is right there beside us. He hasn't forsaken us. He knows it's difficult. He walked that walk. And so He knows and understands you perfectly. And He knows your situation. He knows your life. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows what you're glad about. He knows it all. But He wants us to bring Him into that struggle and into that life. And He wants us to know that He will reward us for being faithful to Him. You know, you talk about the athlete. You know, an athlete, it says, must be winning or wins the prize when he competes according to the rules. How many of us love some of God's rules? You know, some of His rules can be unpleasant, but yet we know if we follow His rules, there's an end reward. You know, I don't know if you know the story back in the 80s when in the Boston Marathon, a lady by the name of Rosie Ruiz was the first to cross the finish line of the women's side of the Boston Marathon and was, you know, lauded. And you know, you can see pictures of her with the police carrying her because she's, you know, at the end of the race, you know, all tired and exhausted. And they bring her, you know, and she gets this wreath, you know, they used to put on there and all the stuff that goes with being a winner of the Boston Marathon. Well, things began to not add up. And within about 8 days, she was stripped of her title because it discovered that she actually had taken the subway at one point. And then she, at the end of the race, she came out of the lineup of people on the side, the spectators, and joined the race at the end. And she was just as much surprised, apparently, that she won, because she thought she was just coming into the race. But she came in and won. How does that feel when you're stripped? You know? And the other thing that was really interesting for me, and Linda, you'll get a kick out of this as a Paralympics, and also the Special Olympics. But this Paralympic team in 2000 in the Olympics, the Spanish team had 12 members. But it turned out they won gold, and it was great. But it was turned out that out of the 12 members, only two of them were actually had hindrances of any type. The other 10 were perfectly healthy athletes. They cheated the system. And of course they won gold, but then they were found out by a Spanish reporter who knew better, and they were stripped. You know, it doesn't pay to shortcut. It doesn't pay to cheat. There's no quick fix in the faith. There's no, well, if I'll just do it my way, this way, and all of a sudden I'll come out great. No, faith is hard. It's got to be diligent. We've got to work hard at it. We've got to persevere. We've got to discipline our lives. We can't cheat the system. And you know, God's the one who rewards us, right, at the end of the day? When we get to the finish line, we'll finish well. And Jesus himself will look at your life. And he'll look at me before him if we've kept the faith and we fought the good fight. And he'll say to you, face to face, well done. Good and faithful servant. Good and faithful servant. You ran the race, and I know it was hard, but you kept the faith and you stayed true to me. You didn't deny me. You stayed faithful. I'm not saying it's not going to be tough at times, and I'm not going to say that we won't make mistakes. But we have one who is always ready that we can turn to and keep our eyes on, and he'll pick us up and he'll help us the next step. You know, like the soldier, the thing about the soldier is the soldier, you know, goes to war. He can no longer live the life the way he wants to live it. He has to follow the military rules and guidelines, and especially those in authority over him. And Paul is really saying, you know, that as their focus, integrity is shifted and their priorities have shifted to the war and to following those that lead them, so too the Christian faith is like that. We prioritize Jesus in our life, and we prioritize our faith so that it becomes our focus, and that's what we live for. And truly, Jesus is starting to increase daily in our lives, and we in ourself and our flesh are decreasing in our lives. So what does Paul say to Timothy here in the midst of all of this? You know, he says, suffer hardship with me and do it in this manner because it's going to be tough at times. He said two things here in this first passage of Timothy or 2 Timothy chapter 1 or 2. I love this part about it. He says, first of all, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace. Really, what he's saying in the Greek is to empower, because we get empowered by the Holy Spirit to live the life of grace. And it means to increase in strength. There's a continual process of strengthening in our lives. You know, we can't let our guard down. We have to continually be going after God and going after the things that we need to keep ourselves strong in faith. But we need to have this continual process. 1 Chronicles 16 in the Old Testament, we read, seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. And there's a clue there on how you get strength. Look to his face. Seek him. Don't find it everywhere else. Start with Jesus. Start in abiding and waiting on him and getting to know him, and you will become strong in faith. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 says, be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Be grown-ups. You know, be strong, mature. There's a process going on in our lives where we're like little children in faith, and we're growing and established and becoming senior citizens in faith, like Derek and Esther Swanson, you know, 100 years ago when they were born. You know, they were little babes, but now they're mature and they're grown up. I can say that because I've seen their faith and walk. They have grown up in the faith well. They've matured well. And see, that's what's happening in our lives. We're learning how to be mature in God, to be strong in the Lord. Ephesians 6, 10 and 11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. You see, what this passage tells us is that we all need to be strengthened. We don't arrive. We need to be strengthened continually in our lives. It also tells us that we can be strengthened. We can be strong in the Lord because we can put on His armor, His clothing on our lives. And we can put on the full armor of God, which means we have to be intentional, purposeful to a process of change in our life as God clothes us. You know, He clothes us with truth, the truth about Himself. He clothes us in righteousness as we learn how to live rightly before Him. He's clothed us with the gospel and with salvation. He's clothed us with the ability to have faith. And He's clothed us with the Word of God, the Bible, which is the sword of the Spirit and helps us to defend our faith and to fight the battles that need to be fought in our faith. And why do we put all this stuff? It tells us here that we're able to resist and having done everything to stand. Don't you love that? You know, it's like, you know, your kids coming to you and asking for your credit card because they want to go clothes shopping. That doesn't happen to any parents here, right? Never happened to me. And, you know, they go buy their stuff, right? And you clothe them and take care of them and make sure they're dressed and they look great. You know, that's how God is with us. He's given us a credit card. He's given everything at our disposal in life and in the Word of God to put that and clothe that in our lives. It's an endless supply, but He doesn't give it to us all at once. He wants us to train and discipline and continually grow and be stronger in our faith. Isaiah 40, another clue of how we gain strength in the Lord and take on His strength over ourselves. It says, He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, He increases power. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not get tired. They'll walk and not become weary. In our culture, we have everything fast-paced, as I said. Fast food. Go into a lineup right now anywhere in the city for any reason. How happy are you when it takes a long time? You know, we're built to have it now. Instant gratification. Microwaves don't help that at all, do they? You see, we have that born in us, but you know, with the faith, we can't short-circuit waiting on God. And if you don't know how to wait on God, you know, talk to me. I'll help you through the process of learning. Take baby steps, and more you grow, and you figure out how to sit still. I'm a perfect example of somebody who has to discipline themselves to do it. I am Martha through and through. You put me down in a room and I've got to know that I'm doing something. I've got to, you know, plan this or I've got to take care of this. Like, I can't just sit here. I got to be doing something. That's what I'm like. Yet the treasure and the secret of finding strength in the Lord and growing in God and knowing God is all boils down to just being quiet and still, waiting on Him. Learning what that means, to pick up the Word of God and read a few verses and allow the God just to speak into your being. It's worth it. It takes discipline. It's sometimes, well, it is the hardest thing for us to do at times. Yet we have to fight through it and learn the process of waiting on Him. John 15, abide in me and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. But apart from me, you can't do it. You know, we need him. And if I could get that one thought across to us today, if we're going to take on his strength, then we have to do it his way. We can't choose the way we do it. We've got to know him. We've got to abide in him. We've got to have a relationship that's constantly growing in him. You know, that strength also comes in the Lord from each other. You know that God has placed, for whatever weird reason, you know, we want to get strong in the Lord. He's made us accountable to one another, to reach out to each other, to encourage one another and build each other up. And that's why he puts gifts in the church so that we get to develop. You know, that's why he puts us, you know, kind of with people. People like Jordan, you know, he likes to bring me coffee. You know, but we can encourage each other and we can speak into each other's life. We can tell the truth to one another. We can confess our faults to one another. And we can pray for each other so that we can be healed. You see, there's a process. We need each other. We can't do it alone. It's another rule. It's another guideline. It's something that God put into place, and we can't go around it. We can't lone wolf it and be as strong in the Lord as we would with each other. You know, the second thing that I notice here is one, you know, he says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. But these two words just leap out the pages at me. When he goes to him, remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. When the going gets tough, when the world's up against you, when you just don't feel physically or mentally or emotionally enough physical strength to move on, remember Jesus. Just stop. Take a break. Just stop and put your eyes on him and let him lift you up. Hebrews 12 tells us, you know, we've got this great crowd of witnesses, you know, all the people that died in the faith, the martyrs, all these different people that never gave up, even though they gave their life. He's saying, remember those people, he says, and then he goes on to say, remember Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, the one who gave his life completely, was brutalized, died on that cross for our sin, took our punishment upon himself. The one just, true person was killed for us. He says, remember that so that you don't grow weary and lose heart. So whenever you feel like it's tough and it's hard and you don't know whether you want to do it this way or that way, remember Jesus. Put your focus back on him. Call out to him. Sometimes I call out to Jesus and I'm going, Jesus, I don't even know if I can actually say this. I'm so tired. But I just go, Jesus, I need you. That's all I do, and then I just sit there and let him minister to me. Sometimes it's tough, isn't it? And we need to remember him. Do you love Jesus? You know, that's really what Paul's telling Timothy. He says, you know, when I talk about living the faith and the hardship and you're going to suffer for it and you're going to persevere and all this stuff, it all boils down to this, is do it because you love Jesus. Do it because you love him. Don't do it because we have to do it or, you know, it's demanded of us, expected of us. Let's do it because we just love him. When you get to that point, when that's the motive, when that's the priority, it makes things a whole lot easier. Love Jesus with all your heart. Before he died, Billy Graham was returning to Charlotte after a speaking engagement. And when his plane arrived at the airport, a limousine was waiting there to transport him to his home. As he prepared to get into the limo, he stopped and he talked to the driver. He says, you know, I'm 87 years old. The driver says to him, well, no problem. Be my guest. And so Billy gets into the driver's seat and the chauffeur guy gets in the back. And as they're going along, a rookie state trooper was out doing his first time with a speed gun. And Billy goes through the traffic speed gun going 70 miles an hour instead of the posted 55. And so the guy goes out there and pulls this limo over. And he goes to the window, and he's surprised to see who's driving the limo. So he says, wait a minute. And he goes back to his car, and he radios in to his superiors. And he says to the guy, you know, I'm not sure what the, you know, like, there's a famous person in this limo, and he says, are we supposed to give special treatment? Is there some way we handle this in a good way to help them because of who they are? And the supervisor says, why? Is it the governor? And the trooper says, no, it's far more important than that he is. He says, well, is he the president? He goes, no. He says, he's even more important than that. So the supervisor's like, well, who is it? And the young trooper says, I think it's Jesus because he's got Billy Graham driving for him. Thanks, Dave. You know, I use that little bit of humor leading into communion because, you know what, when it comes to the end of the day, you know, we want Jesus in our life, right? We want Jesus, we want to be able to drive and live our lives with Jesus with us. We don't want to put Jesus on the outside of the car, outside of the life. You know, we want to honor him. We want to bless him. Live our lives all because he came down to this earth. He gave his life. He suffered and bled and died. He disciplined his life to fulfill his Father's wish that you and I could have eternal life. And he gave his life and took your and my sin upon himself, our punishment, so that we could have life. That's why it's hard at times we dig in. That's why we get out and we fight the fight. But we don't do it alone. We do it with Jesus. We've got to do it with Jesus because he wants to walk alongside of us in our life and help us through all the times, the hard, the good, the mediocre, the rough, the smooth. He just wants to be involved in a relationship with us. Yeah, God, we thank you today. You're so worthy, God. So worthy. And God, we want to bless you and thank you again for the life you've given each of us. Physically, you gave us life. We were born into this world. But yet being born into this world, because man had turned from you, we are born into sin. And the only way to have a relationship with your Father who is holy and pure and can't dwell with sin was for you to come and to lay your life down in a pure, unsinning person, a lamb who would lay his life down for the sins of the world. And through his shed blood, his death, we are forgiven of our sin and we are pure and righteous before a Father, a God who is holy. So we thank you today, and we're going to take communion to celebrate what you have done. And thank you, God, and we're going to remember you, Jesus, as you taught us to do, that whenever we took the bread and we broke it and whenever we drank the cup together, we'd remember your death. So God, help that also to remind us today that we too are going to have to live a disciplined life. That there's no shortcuts. It's just the way that you've laid out for us, and we need to follow you and live the life you've called us to live. So thank you, God, that today you are strengthening your church and giving your power into our lives so that we can do that. Be honored in these next few moments, God, as we worship you because of what you've done. I just invite you to take a few moments now to, as the Bible instructed us, to examine our hearts. And just take a few moments to, in a sense, like Lisa said at the beginning, that we would just recommit to kind of lay our lives down again, fresh and anew before him as we give him thanks today. And if you're in the building or online today and you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ, there's a little warning at the end there that says if we deny him, he will deny us. There is no way for salvation in eternal life except through him. If you've never asked him to forgive your sins and just come into relationship with him, invite him in, and he'll show you the way. I just invite you to do that right now. Just say a little prayer, ask him to forgive your sin and to come into your life. God, if there is anyone in the building or anybody online today that is in that place, I trust the Holy Spirit to reveal that to them. Thank you, Jesus. the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread, broke it, gave it to his disciples. He said simply, "This is my body, which will be broken for you." And they couldn't have understood what that would mean in a short period of time. But folks, we look back and we know what that means. That his body was broken. Those stripes that he took, the thorns, the spikes, the agony was for you and I. As we take the bread, let's remember Jesus in all of that. You know what I'm reminded of this morning when I look at the cup? When Jesus said, you know, your sins will be forgiven. And the word tells us as far as the east is from the west. It tells us God's mercy endures forever. I'm 59 years old and I still trip up. But I'm learning more and more now than I ever have before that his grace doesn't run out. And his mercy does endure forever. And though our sin might be scarlet, it can be white as snow. And we can live that life every day. There's power in the blood of Jesus. And if you're feeling a little down on yourself right now, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. You know, it's what we decide today. Are we going to follow him? Are we going to let him rule in our lives? Are we going to run the race with him today? Then his blood gives us the strength to move on. With that memory of the forgiveness of our sin and the ongoing work of the blood in our lives, let's remember Jesus and let's partake of the cup together. Oh, yes, Lord. We know we have a good foundation in you. That no matter what life will throw at us, we won't sink if you're close. So, God, thank you for the strength you provide. Thank you for each other, that we are provided for one another. And thank you for every family that's represented here in the room and online today. Bless each person, bless each household. And may each person in every household, God, see an increase of Jesus and an increase of strength in their faith. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord's face shine upon you, and may the Lord grant you peace. And may his joy be your strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God loves you. Isn't that crazy? He loves you. And he loves and he's rooting for you. He's cheerleading you on. The Lord bless you and encourage somebody this week in a great way. Lift somebody else up of their spirits and show them Jesus. Bless you, church.